This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Absolutely blistering letter, Lee, from the Secretary of Education to Harvard. Linda McMahon. Yes, and good for her. That's what all of our federal government leaders should be doing. We need a much smaller government. But this, oh my gosh, you know what this is really about? What this comes down to, a lot of it, is the lawlessness of the left, which started with us allowing them to have sanctuary cities and say, okay, well, you can just, you know, do what you want. It spread to every single institution, including Harvard, which is presently just gaffing off a Supreme Court ruling about, no, we're not using racial preferences anymore. That's not a thing we're doing. You can't do it in admissions. You can't discriminate against one race to benefit another. That is now been ruled by the Supreme Court illegal. Now, the Democrats who claim that all Supreme Court rulings are sacrosanct, except the ones Joe Biden brags about defying, like student loan repayments, has been basically lawlessly running the university. I'll read it though, but this really is, it's about all of the ways they're breaking the law. Civil rights laws of this country just completely gaffed off in a way they would freak out if our side did. Okay, here's what she writes. The federal government has a sacred responsibility to be a wise, important steward of American taxpayer dollars. Harvard University, despite amassing a largely tax-free $53 billion endowment, larger than the GDP of 100 countries, receives billions of dollars of taxpayer largesse every year. Receiving such taxpayer funds is a privilege, not a right. Yet instead of using those funds to advance the education of students, Harvard is engaging in a systemic pattern of violating federal law. Where do many of these students come from? Who are they? How do they get into Harvard and even into our country? And why is there so much hate, in all caps? It really sounds like Trump wrote this and Linda McMahon signs it. It really, I read it and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of Trump's like mannerisms in here in terms of writing. Okay. Harvard University has made a mockery of this country's higher education system. It has invited foreign students who engage in violent behavior and show contempt for the United States of America to its campus. It has scrapped standardized testing requirements, normalized grading systems. This year, Harvard was forced to adopt an embarrassing remedial math program for undergraduates. Why is it, we ask, that Harvard has to teach simple and basic mathematics when it is supposedly so hard to get into this acclaimed university? Who is getting in under such a low standard when others with fabulous grades and great understanding of the highest levels of mathematics are being reject it? Well, because they've developed an affinity for Hamas terrorist supporters. That's why. And they're taking these people from all over the world. So two things are going on here. If you look at the visa process, Lee, what has happened is it was largely on autopilot. And these universities like Harvard and Columbia begin offering visas to people associated with U.S. state designated terror groups, people who advocated for them, people who recruited for them, to provide, you know, a perspective, I suppose, we're all supposed to learn from. And what they would do, they would accept the students, they would fill out immigration forms sent to them by Harvard, then it rolls over to the U.S. government for a rubber stamp. Well, they were just being rubber stamped, including, in all fairness, under the Trump administration. And it was thought, well, you know, these universities are American. They wouldn't bring terrorists in. Well, Democrats, right? So this is how we ended up with these incredible people on our campuses. That it is a absolute awe, shock, awe, and wonder that they're even in the country, much less have taken a spot that could have been occupied by an American. So there's that going on. But she's also saying, look, you are not taking the best and the brightest. You are discriminating based on race. You are defying the Supreme Court. And that is illegal. We're not going to continue to fund you. So what's your take on all this?
Well, I've seen this happen before as far as the withholding of federal funds if you don't go along with the federal government. I know they've done that for years with the State Departments of Transportation. If you don't abide by their legal limit on alcohol, you know, you don't get the federal highway funds.
Yeah.
I mean, there's precedent for this. So for these liberal progressives to act like, oh, you just simply can't force states or some institution to do something simply because you're offering them federal money. Well, the federal government does that all the time to states and other organizations.
Particularly from a civil rights point of view.
Oh, absolutely.
Where you have Supreme Court rulings, but you also have the civil rights law that was passed into law by Congress. They are violating both of those. In fact, the Supreme Court ruling was based on an interpretation of that law and also of our Bill of Rights. And so they're violating all of that. That's why she's mentioning they had to add remedial math. Why? Because you're taking people based on race or religion that would not otherwise make it into Harvard. That you cannot do that anymore. That's illegal. That's been upheld by the Supreme Court. And you've got to stop. Let me give you an example of what's going on here. And by the way, Harvard's just first. I mean, they're going to hit Princeton, they're going to hit Columbia, and they should. Here's just a headline, for instance, from Princeton. Quote, "We can't hire a white guy," unquote. This is from a professor on life at Princeton and how his department is not allowed to recruit the best if they're white. I mean, this is what's going on these campuses. This is what has had to be broken down. But listen to this one. I've got this up on my X feed. Motion, M-O-S-H-E-N, Madawi, he's the Columbia version of this, where they're saying, oh, free speech, Trump's going after him for criticizing Israel. Okay, but like, what did he say? Well, the media won't tell you about his history. He was reported to the FBI in 2015 for bragging to a, get this, gun shop owner that he loved to kill Jews while shopping for a gun in his store.
Okay, that's just a little bit of a problem.
The guy that the New York Times and NPR has made the face of the supposed First Amendment movement to keep this guy in America. Now, Motion Madawi, if you know who he is, and I've been talking about him for weeks now, his cousin was one of the guys on the hang gliders that flew in and,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Thought he was just a university student.
No, that was his cousin. Okay, yeah. This is who they're letting in. Okay, his cousin was a member of the Al-Qassam Martyrs Brigade. Again, in other words, the hand glider guys who flew in, raped the women, killed the men, then killed the women that they raped
at a concert in the desert.
At a concert where nobody was armed, and right. Not even everyone was an Israeli.
Yeah,
this is not an attack on a military site. And by the way, those guys didn't just hit the concert. They massacred families. They burned some alive. I mean, it's brutal stuff. Killed toddler. I mean, it's horrific. I'm not going to go into it again. It'll make me upset. Al-Qassam Martyrs Brigade, okay? He refers to his cousin, who was one of those guys who went in on the first wave, as a martyr. Hamas is a terror group, a designated terror group. I don't know how many times I have to say that. You cannot come on our campuses praising these people. That is recruitment. That is proselytization. That is material support to a terror group. I don't care if Harvard gave him a visa. By the way, you know the Trump administration's now revoked over 2,000 visas, some of them for links to terror, some of them for just people who have come in and committed crimes while they're here. You don't get to do that and take a spot at Harvard while we teach you remedial math.
Yeah, either one of those is a good reason to do that. So.
But see, the thing is, a lot of this is not getting through in the media, and I'm even getting texts from some of us. Well, you know, it's just Trump doesn't like it if you don't like Israel. Oh, no, this is way beyond that.
Yeah.
This is not that. Truly, we are watching the Democrats turn our universities into terror recruitment centers. And it started with Jews. And when you look at what they did, okay, there's a reason there were tents on these campuses. The reason there were tents because the people that were allowed in the campus to terrorize Jews weren't students. And think about this. The leadership of these universities told the Jewish students, stay home. It's too dangerous for you. But let non-students who are terrorizing them set up tents on campus, led by these crazy groups set up by these people with clear, open affiliation to terror groups. I mean, it's crazy if you think about it. But hey, don't get upset. I mean, Trump's cracking down. If we hadn't won.
Yeah.
If we hadn't won, these would become terror recruitment centers. Mm-hmm. Trump's trying to stop the merger of the Democrat Party and actual terrorist groups. And you know, marching around. You saw it, Hamas banners in the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then remember we found out Iran was funding a lot of these Democrat grassroots marches. And who was the other funder? Well, Joe Biden's spokesperson admitted Iran funded them. Also, Politico seeing a lot of Biden's donors. So, I mean, again, you were watching the merger here of that. And we cannot have that in our country because I'm telling you, Christians are next. Next set of letters going out. If you're Christian, please don't come to campus. We're going to cancel all of your services. It upsets Hamas. It's where we're headed. But Trump's standing in the way. It's just my frustration that a lot of this news does not get through the way I just laid it out with the facts that I just used. But this is, you know, this is at the point of a real national security threat. And again, these terrorist sympathizers are learning they can get in through here by applying at liberal universities for visas. And no one was paying attention to who was coming in. And that's where we are. So, again, if she did this to Harvard, then it is only a matter of time before the Princeton and Columbia letters go out too. Because they've done all of the same things. So good. Good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Deputy Chief of Staff for Trump, Stephen Miller, tweeting, the right to due process is to protect citizens from their government, not to protect foreign trespassers from removal. Due process guarantees the rights of a criminal defendant facing prosecution, not an illegal alien facing deportation. You know what they don't want to tell you? Best kept secret right now. They're pretending this isn't the case. The 3.2 million illegal immigrants deported by Obama. Because remember, Obama actually had a tougher deportation program than Joe Biden. Under Obama, you could still be deported for like killing someone while drunk driving, rape, violent crimes, the kind of stuff Biden let you stay. In fact, there were multiple classes of felony that didn't even involve murder you could commit under Barack Obama. He'd deport you because they were gradually working up to the radical program they have now. Do you realize 3.2 million illegals were deported without any judicial process during Obama administration using expedited removal? Do you remember that term, expedited removal? Yeah, Obama did it. Well, how did that work? Well, an immigration officer ordered them. Wait. Isn't that what just happened with Trenda Yaragua? Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, oh, well, you know, you can have an order from an immigration officer, but that's not due process, not enough due process. And that's why you have judges. You just had this judge, folks. Listen to this one. This loopy whack job. order that you have to have a warrant to deport somebody? What? As in a warrant, you have to get a warrant from a judge to go pick them up. No, that's not what law says. It's not what the law says under Obama when he deported all those people. Folks, this is a game. It's a delay, delay, delay. They're playing a game to delay, 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 delay because they want to amnesty these people. In fact, one Democrat senator said we should just do amnesty. Actually, this just came out. We should just do amnesty instead of deporting. Of course, that's what they want to do. That's exactly what they want to do. Okay, I want to get back to China and what they're saying about what China is saying about COVID and what Tulsi Gabbard is saying about COVID and what RFK is saying about COVID. And folks, again, all of this is connected. Ed Martin, this is what one of the things criminally he is investigating. You had Tulsi Gabbard go on Megyn Kelly's podcast last week and say, we are criminally investigating Anthony Fauci. Now, that may sound strange because he got the pardon from Joe Biden. Why would you do that? For the same reason I've been telling you for years, Fauci is just the gimp. He's the diversion, the distraction. He's a bit player in all of this. His was only a $6 million, chip in at the Wuhan lab. The bigger players are USAID and the Pentagon. That's why they're interested in Fauci. So Tulsi did two bombshell things that you're now seeing RFK and Trump follow up on. And she says, we are investigating the origins of COVID, not the Chinese origins of COVID. Before that,
was actually U.S. funded.
See, that part terrified people in Washington. I'm wondering, you know how Michelle Obama's been, again, distancing herself from her husband, as a texter pointed out? I've been wondering if it's not because of this. Because she knows. She knows you're about to go after. They're going to pull that thread. And she knows where it's going to go. Okay. This is the clip from Tulsi last week on Megan's podcast.
We just have never been able to have somebody say it, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in on?
We are working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because, just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right, under oath.
Under oath, exactly. So is it any wonder that he sought a preemptive pardon for anything during a certain period of time by President Biden before he left office?
And then strong-armed and smeared people like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, anybody who came out and said, I don't know if that's natural. This actually smacks of lab.
Okay, so RFK's out yesterday too, saying, yeah, we're investigating Fauci. Again, it's not to prosecute him, it's to get everyone around him. They're bigger players. That's why everybody's freaking out. Meanwhile, the Chinese are out saying, oh, hey, COVID was circulating in the U.S. before it was circulating in Wuhan because y'all made it. You shipped it here. They're China. They lie. I'm going to play it for you again because it's so shocking. But they also back it up with 70 pages of footnotes. And those footnotes are pretty good. Keep in mind, folks, I laughed, and I'll admit I got it wrong. I laughed, as did the mainstream media, the liberal media, and even Fox News, when COVID broke and the Chinese said, oh, well, it originated in the U.S. No, not here. Come on. Please. Wait. It did. Here's what they're saying now.
And in it, China says plainly, quote, COVID-19 may have emerged in the U.S. earlier than the U.S. official timeline and earlier than the outbreak in China. Now, maybe that sounds absurd, maybe it doesn't, but what's remarkable is the level of detail China goes into as they lay out their case. They're not just throwing out accusations. They cite U.S. government data, early blood samples, CDC studies, and even animal surveillance reports from the USDA. This isn't a tweet storm. It's 70 pages of footnoted data.
What else does it say? I mean, because look, China, they're nasty. They murder their own citizens. They think nothing of it. They're threatening to starve them now if Trump continues on with the tariffs. They're not good people. But the last time they told us something about COVID and we laughed, they weren't lying. We were. Our government was. They were right. It started here in terms of the gain of function research that was done at UNC Chapel Hill and Fort Detrick. What else is in that 70-page report China just put out?
Here's their second claim. Early antibody evidence in the U.S. shows COVID was circulating in the U.S. as early as December of 2019.
Before the Wuhan outbreak.
So in a 2021 CDC study of blood samples from December of 2019 to January of 2020, over 100 came back positive for SARS-CoV-2 antibodies. Now, that was before anyone in America was officially diagnosed. Then there's the NIH's All of Us study. In a blood collected that was collected in January of 2020, they found that COVID antibodies, they found the COVID antibodies in samples from Illinois and Massachusetts. These samples were drawn before these states had any confirmed cases at all. So China sums it up like this, quote, SARS-CoV-2 was circulating across the U.S. at a low level as early as December 2019, well before the first official cases were recorded. Now, does this prove the virus started in America? No, but it does raise the question, if the virus was already here in December before Wuhan even locked down, then why were we so sure that they were the source?
70 pages of footnotes, y'all. China puts it out just as Tulsi and RFK are like, hey, you know what? We're going to check into the U.S. government origins of COVID. Something's never really been formally done before. Except by maybe like Rand Paul and some folks on Republican committees. Indeed. This, folks, I have a feeling it's about to get very interesting. Oh my gosh, this is getting ridiculous. Headline, judge orders Trump administration to admit roughly 12,000 refugees into the United States of America. This is just going to go on and on and on and on until Congress gets off its stuff and passes something to help Trump. I mean, look, these judges might as well try it. They're liberal judicial dictators. Why can't we just order the border open? Top 10 stories today, Topic Pulse, one of them. Questions, Trump's expanded military use at the southern border. Are there legal limits? So, and folks, I've been amazed so far that there hasn't been a liberal judicial dictator who has ordered the military to get off the border. Do you know Trump expanded it over the weekend? Yeah, and they don't like that because it applies military rules to who it's as if you're, you know, trespassing on a military base. And they don't like it. They don't want it. Trump over the weekend created a second military reserve along the southern border. The Texas National Defense Area will stretch 63 miles east along the southern border from El Paso on the Texas-New Mexico state line. Over 100,000 acres of federal land on the border was transferred to the Department of the Interior on the 15th of April, allowing military control of the land for 3 years. Military control of the land allowed trespassers to be treated severely and ejected from the U.S. more easily. Yeah, because it puts them under military rules. So this is a second new defense area. This is in addition to the so-called Roosevelt Reservation. That's a 60-foot corridor that runs along the border from California through Arizona to New Mexico. Why do we need that? Well, because we have liberals in charge of those states, California, Arizona, and New Mexico. And so this is why Trump has to come in like everybody's in kindergarten and literally physically secure the border, putting the military basically between those who would invade our country and some of whom are just people want to come here to work, but they really should go through the front door the proper way, and others of whom mean us harm, many of them actually, who are still coming mean us harm. So this is the left getting ready to sue, find liberal judicial dictators who will say, no, you can't put the military on the border. Yet. But as they're preparing for that, Trump is doing it. And it's tranche after tranche after tranche, which is awesome. Meanwhile, speaking of Arizona, left-wing Arizona Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs, who, by the way, may or may not be the governor of Arizona. It's impossible to know. And I can say that factually now, which is fun, that a court has ordered America Legal Foundation, which was Steve Miller's legal group, one, enforced the removal of, get this, 50,000 illegal immigrants from the Arizona rolls. That's why we have no idea who the governor is. Every one of those votes is illegal, by the way. 36,000 illegal immigrants cast ballots in Arizona in 2020. Joe Biden won by 11,000 votes. You tell me who won Arizona. I don't know. So left-wing Arizona Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs, who again may or may not be the governor. Folks, it's entirely possible that Carrie Lake is both the governor and the senator of that state. I can say that with confidence now. Again, now that a federal court has, one, acknowledged there are 50,000 illegal immigrants on the rolls in Arizona, that many of them voted. We know 36,000 did in 2020, and that they must be removed. By the way, the reason we had to get a legal ruling for that is because Democrats are in charge of, they hold the positions in that state, including the governorship, in charge of removing them, and they're refusing. So now there's a court order. We'll see if they do it. Anyway, left-wing Arizona Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs, who, by the way, won with less than 17,000 votes. That's why we don't know who the governor actually is, since many of them were illegal. Anyway, has vetoed a bill passed by the state legislature that would require local and state law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration officials. So the legislature passed it, requiring them to cooperate. Katie Hobbs says no. The Republican-led legislature passed a bill that outlawed local jurisdictions from passing ordinances that would prevent local police from working with federal immigration authorities. So why is she doing this? She needs them to come in. Because then how's she going to win? I mean, they're taking the illegals off the roll. She needs new ones. They were already voting, folks. That was the win there. I made a big deal out of that 2 weeks ago when it came out. If you want to know why, she knows why. She's losing her voters. She needs new ones. And of course, every one of those votes is illegal. It's not. And remember, going into the Arizona election, I was very afraid. And the 2024 election, I was very afraid because remember the Supreme Court ruled that they had to stop registering illegals and people here on visas who are not U.S. citizens. You can't legally vote in a federal election. It's illegal. The Supreme Court ordered them to stop registering them, but said, well, if they're already on the rolls, you know, we don't have enough time to get them off. So we'll just let them vote illegally, which was outrageous. Well, that's what this is about, folks. You're seeing the hand-to-hand combat here. Literally hand-to-hand with the governor saying, no, you will not take your hands and help the deportation. We're keeping the illegals. I'm going to put them back on the rolls later. From the woman who may or may not be the governor of Arizona, we will never know. Just like we will never know if Joe Biden legitimately won Arizona or not, because there were 36,000 illegal votes. These are the stakes, folks. This is the fight that we are in. And this is why Trump has to go babysit them down in Arizona, because they got a Democrat governor who wants to get reelected in that state. He's got to literally sit the military on the border and babysit these people. Folks beginning to say, wait a minute, hold on. Because no matter what Trump does, right, we're told that he can't deport anybody. It's just too hard. There's just so many legally legal things that you have to legally, like, do. We've now got idiots ordering Trump to get a warrant to pick up illegal immigrants for deportation. But wait a minute. If that's all the case, Trump's, of course, just, you know, ignoring the law because he's a lawless dictator and all. How were Biden and Obama able to deport so many people? How was Bill Clinton able to deport so many people? I mean, did these laws not apply to them too? Oh, they did. People beginning to go back and look at the, wow, Clinton deported 12 million over the course of 8 years. Weird, right? Well, didn't he use the same procedures and processes Trump is? Mm-hmm. Pretty much. He didn't use the Alien Enemies Act, but all the rest of them, yes, exactly the same. Here's Mark Tepper, Fox Business, explaining to Maria Bartiromo.
I mean, we're talking roughly 20 million or so who broke the law, and there was no enforcement of the law from the Biden administration, which presented an even bigger issue because they were able to come here illegally without any issues at all. Bill Clinton deported 12.1 million during his presidency. 92% to 93% of those people he deported were sent back without a formal proceeding, a.k.a. due process. Okay.
Weird.
So look, to what President Trump Trump said 5 million trials. That's impossible. You can't do it. And the fact that these judges continue to get in the way and try to derail his deportation efforts, it's brutal because, you know, to Caroline's points earlier, the Manhattan Institute estimates an average net fiscal burden of $68,000 per illegal migrant, which actually goes up to $130,000 for those with lower education levels. That is a big drain on society. And one of the things that President Trump has mentioned is for these people who self-deport, they have an opportunity to come back the right way at some point in the future.
Yeah. So what these judges are now saying that Trump cannot do, Clinton, Biden, and Obama did. This is ridiculous. It's an insurrection. It's a coup. But listen, folks, you heard that. We are getting, I'm telling you, a bargain. You buy these guys, you budget $3,500 for their plane ticket, give them $1,000 to leave so they get started when they get home with maybe the ability to apply to come here later, which I hope means we're not going to hold it against you that you got here illegally, but you got to go in the same line everybody else does with the same amount of waiting time. That's a good deal under that scenario. Folks, the self-deportation program, 3-2-1, wait till some judicial dictator bans it because they're afraid it'll work. Okay, Mike Gallagher is up next. Be sure to listen to the Battleground America podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.